something to say. Some of these songs are awesome, they're good corporate worship songs, but some of them are take-homes.
Yeah.
I like them songs to wake up and sing in the morning. First one I would say, well, I can't say I'm singing for that. I sang it about 5 days ago. 4 days ago, it was the first time I sang it in a little while. It's Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me. So you figure you just wake up in the morning, you head to the bathroom, go to the bathroom, brushing your teeth, and you just stop before you leave that bathroom and the door's closed. It's just you and him. I love this stuff. This is where it's real. This is where you're getting it, you know? And it's just little simple songs, committal songs, just songs to you. Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me. Master, Savior, my Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
Ruler of my heart today.
Yes.
Jesus, Lord to me. You know, it doesn't matter how you sound, nobody's listening. It's just you. Yeah. Yeah. He just said, Jesus. He just said, there's something.
He got me going, man.
I'm still back there singing that other stuff. We're going to have a good time today. I got two things tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to pull it off if we're going to drive. I really think I'm going to get to do what I thought I was going to do this afternoon. That's pretty rare. So while I still believe that, let's try to do it. Let's see if it works. Go to Colossians real quick before the Lord realizes. Go to Colossians. Chapter 2 real quick. See, most of the time, I get a little inkling of something I want to share. It would be good, it's not acceptable, but it would be scriptural. Sometimes it's just not what God wants to say in the room, because He knows the room. He knows where we're at. So a lot of things were past the grade tonight. I had to preach a lot of things about learning over the years. He's like, oh, man, that was good, that was important, man. But what's God saying to us?
Yeah.
What's God saying to this room?
Yeah.
That's where my heart received all the time. But this thing came on my heart second. It's been on my heart for a while. I preached at my church the first Sunday of the year. My home church was the first time I preached there in over a year, probably. I think it was at my home church 3 times this year. So I'm just on the road all the time. So it's nice when the family they fill the place up. We hold a lot of folks. They do 2 services. The place was packed, both services. I mean, it was like a family reunion. People I haven't seen for years showed up, you know? And it was just awesome. But I preached there what I really think I'm going to share. No, see, I'm still not sure. But I feel like it's what God's saying to His church. And I told Him, I said, I feel like it's a message for the whole world, the whole church world. And so I'll be short and sweet with it, nail that thing down, and then we're going to pray for the sick.
My God.
And it's going to be fun.
Yes.
Because you're going to help me, we're going to teach, and we're going to find out what God's doing right now. And nobody's going to be under pressure, nobody can fail. I'll make it so simple, it'll be fun. You'll want to be involved.
Yes.
And if you will pray for like 50 times in your life and you'll never change, so I've done teaching, you'll want to get up and be prayed for.
Thank you.
I'm just telling you, I'm having too much fun with this thing. And I'm seeing people are like, well, I just saw a guy 22 years. His wife was putting on his shirts and stuff because his arm was so messed up and couldn't use it. Saw one young man walk over and pray the simplicity of what he thought. 22 years. Don't think they didn't pray a couple hundred, maybe 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a problem.
Yeah.
You get so familiar with the thing, and all of a sudden the word becomes a technique. Next thing you know, you're just confessing the principle instead of the relationship and love.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you reduce the Bible or what the principles you quote, hoping to get help instead of an introduction into intimacy, love, and communion. See, faith works through love. Faith doesn't work if you have a need. Faith works through love. What happens when you have a need is it's usually despair and fear and anxiety and worry and pressure and works. When we pray, we're never inspired by the problem, we're inspired by the answer. Come on, we're not people with a whole bunch of problems, we're people with an answer.
Yes.
It's called Christ crucified, raised from the dead, Spirit of God in us.
It's
for us. It's just a good day.
Yeah.
All right? So we're going to have fun. I'm not under pressure because I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to teach the truth, and the truth makes people free.
Yeah.
So I can't fail with that either.
Yeah.
zeros registered. So, and I'm not being irreverent, I'm not being flaky, I'm being real. We need to relax, we need to trust Jesus, we need to trust heaven, we need to trust what he did and what he accomplished, and realize
yes.
he loves us, we have a covenant.
Yes.
That all that is his is ours.
Yes, it is.
But all that is ours is his.
My God, yes.
So when I'm just calling on God for a better day, he's become our life, he's changed
yes.
us. We have a new life, we live from a new
my God. My God.
You guys with
my
me?
God.
So at the end, we're going to teach, we're going to take time, we're going to have fun with it, we're going to talk about healing, because it perplexes people. You know why it perplexes people? Because we pray for people and haven't seen things change. So then we come up with a lot of analogies and a lot of beliefs that you can't find in Jesus' life. So now we teach through our experience instead of through his life and his finished work. He's the revelation of the Father. We're still trying to define the Father through the way things are going instead of what he's done.
Yes, Lord, it is.
Come on. Yeah, it's a big deal. We'll talk about it in a little bit, all right? Feel tempted to talk about it now. Deflect it off. I mean, I don't think what's wrong with me, but I'm bad for
praise the Lord.
The gospel's one. It's probably because I'm going to talk, and it's going to be real serious, and our heart's going to get circumcised, and God doesn't want you to feel so much pain, so we'll laugh our way through surgery. It's probably why I feel silly and lighthearted right now, because it's probably going to be intense and serious. And this is just Holy Ghost anesthesia. I'm going to be like, are you bleeding? Because the gospel, it cuts into you, it pierces, it's alive, it's active, it's sharply
dying.
It splits asunder.
My God.
Separates the soul, the spirit. It's amazing, the word's awesome.
Yes.
Go to Colossians chapter 2 with me real quick. I just want you to see one little phrase, which is very long, but it's funny how I can't preach things exactly the same a few times in a row. I was at a church and I preached this thing that's in my heart right now. And I told him, I said, I'm so fired up about these guys, I was crying. It was serious, man. We were receiving it. I'm still getting comments from some people. And then the second service came, and it came out different. It was the same message, it came out so different. And this was the funny man. Okay. You guys there in Colossians chapter 2?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at 2 Timothy 4. Okay. Well, this is powerful. I'll make a comment after I read this, because now I can feel like I want to read this. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive Jesus? By faith. How are you supposed to walk? You're supposed to walk by faith, not by feelings. Well, I don't feel so good. Come on, that has nothing to do with today. Well, I'm not all that encouraged. You're supposed to encourage yourself with the truth. Come on. If you just live by every feeling, you're going to live sensuous. You lived apart from Christ. The only difference is now you're confessing Christ. The just live by faith. It's not a feeling. What happened to Adam is he was alive in the spirit. That part died in his life when he sinned, and he became completely sensual and flesh-driven. Christians aren't supposed to be carnal. We're not supposed to live by the flesh. We're supposed to crucify the flesh and live by the spirit. If you live by the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're not careful, we've reduced ourselves in the church, and I've seen it a lot. We're ministry crazed. We're ministry minded. We're only as good as we're feeling. Only as good as we're going through. We always need prayer for things. And we're here for things to change, to feel better about what? It's deception. You wake up in the morning and say, boy, it feels like it's going to be one of those days. I think I'm going to go call so-and-so for prayer. And it sounds spiritual. Sounds like the church, but it's total deception. You're living your life in the moment instead of in the truth. It's not even a prayer issue. It's a truth issue. It's truth that makes you free, not ministry. I'm not against prayer. There's a time for it. There's a place for it. But I'm telling you, a lot of us are familiar with the way life's been. So we wake up in the morning, we feel a certain way. That thing's trying to come on us, our mind, our body, whatever it is. And we do this. We say, oh, man, it just feels like, oh, I'm not today. It's going to be Wednesday. I need prayer. You don't need prayer. It's time to get to know him more. Lift your hands and your heart to God and start to get out of destiny and purpose and start thanking him. He's in you and he's upon you.
Yes, yes, yes he is. Yes, he is.
Because honestly, kiddo, if you just keep calling for prayer, you're going to live by how you feel and determine how things are going to go by how you're feeling in the moment instead of what you're believing every day.
My God.
The just live by faith,
The way you perceived him, come on, this is command form stuff. This is God's love for us. We're not in the dark, guys. So walk in him.
Yeah.
Any man that cometh to him must first believe that he is.
Yes, he is.
He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Don't grow weary. You give up. You pull back. And yeah, what? Well, I feel.
Yep, my God.
And it's impossible to please him without faith. What that means is it's impossible to fulfill his desire toward you unless you live by faith. The sensuality will stumble you. And you'll never walk out what you're created for because you'll be deceived by what you feel instead of what you believe.
My God. My God.
And you have every reason to be okay, but you have three reasons why you're not.
My God.
Are you guys all right? Are you just thinking? Okay? It just feels intense to me. Forgive me, I'm not yelling at you. Nobody feels like overwhelmed by me, right? Like I'm not trying to. I'm passionate about this, so it's important. He wouldn't take the time to write it, he wouldn't shed his blood for this. He wouldn't have gave his Holy Spirit if it didn't matter.
Amen.
Well, this isn't a doctrine, this isn't a confession, it's not just something we serve, it's something we become.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You don't go to church, you are the church.
Yes,
all right.
We assemble ourselves together to stay encouraged and focused and fixed on Him.
Yes.
And we leave here looking a little more like Him than when we came.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. That's just Lord. Yes.
Amen. Okay. So as you received Him, so what? Rooted and built up in who? What that's trying to tell you and me is we find our identity in Him. We find our purpose in Him. We find our reason for being in Him. Come on, He's all in all. Nothing was made that wasn't made through Him. We're here because of Him. We're here in Him, through Him, by Him. You get it? Our whole life we're trying to find our identity through everything else. Through each other, through our families, through acceptance, through relationships, through how people esteem us, people say stuff, don't say stuff. Sometimes we push for accolades. Sometimes we need people to affirm us because we don't feel affirmed. We've been driven. We were born into no identity. We were born into the fall of man. We were born into the death that God talked about if Adam would eat the tree. We were born into Adam and we must be born again. We turned it into a prayer that takes me to heaven someday instead of a life restored, made brand new, brought back to original value, the beginning restored.
Amen.
When I was separated from Him and had no idea who I was, Christ comes and I see the Father through Him and I come back to the Father through Him. I get grafted back in and now I understand.
Amen.
Yeah.
And nobody taught me the gospel that way growing up. They just said, you better try to be good, you better stay in church, you better hope you're right when the trumpet blows. And I was like, what? It's all I was taught my whole life. It was all about heaven versus hell, and it was all self-serving, and it was all catering to me. And it was all about me being in the right place at the right time so that I get the right thing. It wasn't about me becoming the right thing.
My God, my God, my God.
I don't know how it got that way. Got muddied up. But I kind of know how it got that way. There's a lot of voices out there, huh?
Yeah.
There's a lot of motives out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things out there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
Be rooted, build up in Him. In Him. I'm going to be real straight with Him, real narrow with you, okay? It's impossible for man to know who he really is unless he sees himself through Jesus. Because nothing was made that wasn't made for him. Now that kind of teaching makes it real easy for a confessing atheist to cop out, why I don't believe God created this. I believe God came from a microorganism or whatever, a cell, whatever. Some people say that stuff. But for the Christian, for the believer, this shouldn't be hard. We should be able to make this transition really quick and easy. Wow. I was living my life apart from Him. I didn't understand. I didn't see who He was. I was born in need of love instead of born in His image. I was born into Adam in need of love instead of His image, love. Now I'm in need of love. I get born again. I get grafted back into love. I get fulfilled in Christ. And now I can live this way. Also, I don't need you anymore. I can finally love you.
All of a sudden, I'm not set up to be broken and disappointed by you, because my hope isn't in you. It's in Him, from whence came my help. My expectation is from the Lord, not you. You can't fail me anymore. I didn't wake up for you to love me. I woke up to be like Him, and that's loving you. That's pretty simple.
Amen.
So I guess that's the end of my days of offense and anger, frustration and disappointment and discouragement. Would you please pray for me? I guess Thursday sent it. For 20 years they've been gone. It's true. You don't have to believe me. You'll find out when the hell is right.
Oops.
Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught. You see what I'm doing? I'm doing what Paul says you're supposed to be. Taught these things. Now you be honest. You be real honest. How many of you growing up were never even close to taught these things? What I love to talk these things. Never even close to taught these things. Mm-hmm. That's not arrogant. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying somewhere we get sidetracked. Sometimes, somehow we majored on things that didn't transform us, that just blessed us. And all of a sudden the gospel has become some safety net, catching it, or some form of provision. Instead of a covenant relationship that changes my life and puts a new way inside me. It causes me not only to see who He is, but see who I am in that truth. And now I have a real good look at you. So now I'm totally positioned to love my neighbor as myself.
Amen.
Yep.
Because I see who I am.
Yep.
Finally. There was a time that you wouldn't have wanted me to love my neighbor as myself. You just said, wait till you get a revelation, brother. So if I don't love you like me, that would have been good.
There's a time I didn't even like me. There's a time I needed you to like me to feel likable. There's a time that I pushed for attention. There's a time when I used to feed on any small compliment. Some of us are competitive in sports. We have to win because it makes us feel like a winner. If we don't win, we believe that we're a loser. It's all kind of little avenues and ways that people are trying to find esteem and identity. Why? Because the day Adam ate the tree, everything was created in me was lost in his heart, in his mind, in his sight. God never lost sight. That love never failed. God sat there and knew who He created him to be. So He brought the lamb from slain before the foundation of the world in due time and paid the price to give it all back. Somehow we turned it into a prayer to go to heaven. Instead of heaven coming back into me.
Yes.
So, as you have been taught, well, those of you that were here, especially every session, you can't say you haven't been taught. I know Jess is teaching you this stuff, but I'm just telling you. But stealing some out of the car while we're teaching our friend.
Yeah.
Somebody's gone. You can see what it is? And God. What's that? Are you serious?
Wow.
No, it's all right, man. Just take care of God. It's all right. It's all right. You take care of everything. You may not run off all of you. Look at that manifestation. That car triggered the other car. Cheers. Good luck. Thank you, God. That's awesome. Was it really too long? Really like side by side?
That was crazy.
That's all I love. You know, some people say, yeah, I just did it. Don't even give me credit. What did that hurt? What did that distract? That's the devil. That's pretty sad. Distracting us. If you're that easy, we better listen to what we're preaching. Listen, I learned a long time ago to never put Him on a stage.
Yeah.
When you're a cut off withering branch coming to nothing, you're looking for attention. You're looking for identity when you have none. When you're doomed to damn forever and you have no hope, you're looking for somebody to pay attention to you along the way. Don't put him on the stage, people. He'll perform. I'm just saying, it's a side note. That one right there is worth free admission right there. Come on, it's true. I'm not being weird, but I say there's two things that I can tell you I never think about in my life. The devil and sin. I reckon myself dead to sin and alive to God. And if my conscience violates me or if I cross the line in any way of human weakness, I know it immediately in my relationship with God. Light reveals it to me and I run to the Father and get wiser and stay clean and never lose a step. And if the devil shows up or gets in front of me, he's moving aside. But there are two things I never think about.
Amen.
Sin and the devil.
Amen.
They have nothing to do with heaven. They have nothing to do with Christ in me. My war isn't against sin. Jesus already won that. Amen. My war isn't against the devil. I'm fighting the good fight of faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a simple, guys.
Man, I've been in some spiritual situations and people were amazed by the devil. The power almost knows. Mad. But I got a little freaked out. The more you get to know Jesus, the less impressed you are with fallen spirits.
That's right.
Y'all agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm telling you, they are impressed with him.
Yes.
Fallen spirits are impressed with
him. Yes.
And if we would get a revelation of Jesus, we would see what he's done. They don't ever want you to see what they know. Because that's trouble. So they like to mess with people. The reason they come out of the secret and the snake in the grass scenario and just go boo sometimes is because you go ah, and they kind of like that. Do you ever sneak up and scare somebody? Why is that so fulfilling? You just lay it and you know you're going to get them and they're coming through and they don't see it coming through that. And you're already so like over fulfilled because you see it coming. And you're like, ah! And then, ah! And you're like, ah! You get it free for like 2 minutes. You know what I'm talking about? So if the devil goes boo and you go, ah, he's going to keep going boo.
Right.
The reason he manifests and comes out of the dark and gets in the open is because you honor him and you fear it, you freak out and make much of him. So he gets excited and puts on show two and act two. Just saying. Little things I learned along the way.
Yeah.
Were you ever playing as kids and you ignored somebody or somebody ignored you and you did the old silent treatment and you're like, oh, come on, I know you hear me. The person. Yeah. You ever do that stuff? It should tick you off when you're on the ignore. Just go, come on, you know you hear me. Hey! And this is play it up, right? And all the kids said, listen, when he comes, don't say that. Don't act like he's not. Like, oh, knock it off, guys. You used to teach my God. First of all, why don't we treat the devil that way? Mm-hmm. Why don't we make a big fuss?
That's right.
See, the way you win isn't to fight the devil, it's to submit to God.
That's right.
Yeah. James says, submit to God, resist the devil, go flee. It's one step from you're submitting is your resisting.
That's right.
We're talking, give the devil, bind the devil, tell the devil where to go, You know, when he reminds you of your past, remind him of this future. I ain't even talking to him. He's a fallen spirit.
That's right. Come on now.
He's crushed. He's a withered branch coming up, and I'm just letting that pan out. So if he comes and says, you ain't never going to be nothing. You ain't going to make it. And you hear that stuff? He says, remember 10 years ago? Remember how 15 years ago? And all of a sudden, he's playing that stuff in there. It ain't no place to say, I bind you, devil, and I plead the blood over my mind. And you just like, the devil, I have money first. As soon as you stop playing it, he says, Scotty, I have money first. You know, if you play that stuff, he's going to shut up. No, you don't do that to the devil. It's truth that crushes a lie.
That's right.
So the way you submit to God, when he says, you remember that 10 years ago, all of a sudden she gets a flashback of something she wished she'd never, ever remember, and all of a sudden it's there. She's not dredging it up. It's just being there. It's just a familiar spirit. It's a lying thing. He's looking for an opportune time. You know, she's got a little something in the family, get her heart a little troubled, and next thing you know, he says, oh, she's vulnerable. She's in the right place. Bam, pow. Watch. She got two options. Gray out and believe it, That's your first option. Cry out and believe it. Or second, the other option is this. Father, I thank you. You've changed my life forever.
Yes.
I thank you, Father. You've done a good thing
yes.
in my life.
Yes.
I thank you. My life matters. And you've made a difference in the lives of others. And you've got all things in the strength and power of your hand, and I commit it all to you.
Yes.
God, I thank you for loving me, washing me. Oh, I feel so good.
Amen.
And that little suggestive spirit's going, what? I didn't say nothing about God. I was talking about your past. I was talking about the sin you committed. I was talking about the way you struggled. I was talking about what you mean you're going to be. She totally ignored him. And she took what he was suggesting, flipped it into the truth, and grew closer to God because of him. That sure beats falling apart.
Yeah.
I have that thing out a lot of times. I have to have the devil, and he's talking to his little imp. And then the little imp goes back to his boss.
I went and told him everything you told me to say, and they started to worship Jesus.
Some crack him over the head. You fool, you couldn't have told him what I told you or told her what I told you. Say, when you tell Christians that stuff, you get grayed out, depressed, and call for prayer. You call that right. Not this Christian. I told her, her eyes lit up, her face looked up, and she began to commune with God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee.
Yes,
so once in front of you're submitting, is your resistance. Don't put him on stage.
That's right.
Don't let him perform.
That's right.
Don't make him something he's not.
That's right.
Just a little side note, I don't know where I got strong on that because I'm trying to hear it. That's just the way I roll. When things are getting hard, no one understands that. Come on, man, I'm telling you, a lot of us have chased flashbacks, memories, dreams, impressions, and we're still looking for ministry to try to get them to go away. It's not about them going away. It's about you seeing yourself different and apart from them. So when they come as a strategy to deceive you, use them as a springboard to truth. Don't think because you're remembering it, it's still in you and a part of you.
That's right.
Come on, man. There's folks that 12 years ago, they've been saved for 12 years, but 12 years ago, right after they saved, they crossed the line, made a big mistake, gave this on the weakness after they were saved. Broke their heart, they cried for a long time, and through time walked through it, and allowed God to mend their heart, and had some good counsel, and somebody got them past that, got them up and running. And now, 12 years later, that picture just comes to them on the way driving to work, and they're horrified because they think that they pictured it. It's their desire of who they are, or part of them, or it's in them. It's outside trying to get it. It's trying to take over your good day in God. As soon as you see that picture, you do not need to call for prayer. As soon as you see that picture, you're going to burst out laughing and rejoice that you're a brand new creation, and your life has changed forevermore, and you ain't looking back. Because you got said like last night, you're not Lot's wife, you're his wife, and you're looking up from whence comes your help. God, I thank you, you've changed me. I thank you, you've purified my heart. I thank you, you've made me different than I've ever been before. God, I rejoice in the work you're doing in me.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that little thing that's trying to think, bring that thing up to some of you, I'm freaked out that you're going to. Every time Satan does that and touches you, he's taking a risk. His purpose is to break you, but he's running the risk of making you.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
You guys with me?
Yeah.
Come on. So he's a liar, and he's a liar from the beginning. There's no true beginning. So don't go to a pastor and say, you need to pray for me. The devil's been lying to me all week. Well, you know it's the devil, and you know he's lying. Why are you trying? Oh, wow! Why do you need prayer? Why are you crying? Look, he's the devil. He's a liar. There's no truth in him. So if he's telling you you're never going to be nothing, flip it 180 degrees and it means you're going to be something.
Yeah.
If he's telling you you're never going to make it, flip it 180 degrees, you're heading somewhere.
Yeah.
If he's saying your life don't matter, flip it 180 degrees, you must be important to heaven and the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Why do we believe his suggestions? Because we haven't been established in truth and truly see ourselves through the eyes of the cross. Or the eyes of our Father, whatever you want to say. And then we buy into this, it's deep in our heart, we still don't see ourselves truly established in him. But I'll tell you what, when you do, he has no chance in those eyes of your mind. You come to me and try to tell me that I'm unworthy or that I'm condemned or Jesus doesn't love me. You will cause me to preach the gospel and freak out. He doesn't even try that stuff with me. It would be silly. Because I know that I'm not bad enough. There's a few times I've remembered old things, flashbacks, former stuff. There's a few times in my life you just rejoice in the truth of your change. You have a fun time doing it. There was a time I was preaching. I was just getting ready to preach. I'm ready to turn on the mic and close. Worship atmosphere, transitioning in. While that was happening, a movie that I should have never watched in my former days came out of nowhere and started running through my head in church during worship. And I had the mic and I'm going to speak. You better know who you are if that happens. You better not drop to your knees and start repenting for something you're not. You better not take on the identity of a flashback and make it forget. Lose sight of the truth because that's why it came when it came. Oh, it's good to talk about this stuff.
Yes, it is.
Because people say about, well, what's your thought like? When God puts your thought like on a screen, you'd be right. Not anything you're thinking is you. The stuff you're thinking bad about is sure sign it's not you.
Yeah.
If you're caring about what's going on in your mind and you wish you would stop, that's a sure sign it's not coming from your heart. You want to be happy about that? Look, I don't want to see that stupid movie. I'm standing here now, I wish I had never watched it. I just didn't know better than at the time. I thought, cool, it seemed cool. It was like, yeah, wow. That thing was coming through my mind as if I was watching it now. Worship was like, everybody's quiet, everyone was afraid to talk. I got the mic, I'm ready to transition, and I got this flip and going through my mind from later. I stepped out of the atmosphere the worship folks were in, because now you're messing with me, see. I shocked people, I scared people. People were like, what's going on with them? Because I just don't touch them like that. Because I'm not going to take on that identity, that stuff's not in my heart. I know that. I know I'm not musing on that. I know I'm not sitting here gleaning from that, preaching the gospel. As soon as that thing came to my mind, I was like, you gotta be kidding. What? Trash. And I said, Father, I mean, the atmosphere, it was almost like people were afraid to talk and make noise. Worship was downtrodden. Holy hush. And I go, Father, I thank you I've changed forever. I thank you you purified and absolutely ballistic. Why? So I wasn't trying to go with the flow of the atmosphere. You just messed with me and I'm fighting a good fight of faith and we win. And you're going to be really sorry you ran that flick through my mind.
Until it's all said and done, you're going to know Jesus a little more. He's going to manifest. He's going to do things that might not have happened if I wouldn't have seen the movie. So we don't make them pay.
This is your story, man. I just went crazy. God, and people were looking at me. What's going on? He's a pastor. He's on to something. I mean, that's not the atmosphere world. Then, I mean, so people start going, who worship you, Jesus? Thank you, God. And it's like, that's how I can follow me as a pastor. And I'm just having a fit, man. Because I got something going on there. I have no idea. And it just got so big in me, and I went crazy with it. And I forgot why I was even so stirred, because the truth overtook me. And now I'm just in full way bedroom stuff.
Yes.
Jesus.
My God.
I didn't tell nobody what happened. I didn't tell nobody nothing. I didn't glorify that thing. I did nothing. I just stepped over and I remember saying, "You, sir, right about where you're sitting." He was right about there in the congregation. I pointed and I said, "You've got a herniated disc in the center of your back. Fire of God is coming upon you." He went, "Oh, oh, oh." I said, "Whenever you want, stand up and bend and flex your seat too." And I said, "Ma'am, you should try your second row." I said, "You got something growing inside of your ankle. It's obstructive movement. It's like a tumor of fatty tissue. It's a growth." And I said, "Check it because it's not there." This guy stands up. The stuff just started happening. Why? Because I saw a movie. And you think I'm a man with a problem down here?
Yeah. Well, I wish I didn't see that movie. But why is the devil allowed? And I don't know. Stop.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know why I didn't hurt me to see that movie? Because none of that's in my heart.
That's right. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
So what he said, yes. What he said with intention to break me,
yes,
established me
all
the more.
My God.
How do you fight that kind of wisdom?
My God. Yes, Lord. Amen.
You see why the just have to live by?
Amen.
If you live by feelings and emotions, that's a troubled time, my friend. Now you're crawling up the altar crying. You can't even preach. You're dropping the mic. You're feeling unworthy. You're thinking you need rehab or something. Yes, you believe you're a hypocrite. You've got some ill thing in your heart. You need to go on a sabbatical. One memory, you internalize it, take it personal, and make it who you are, and you're trash. In
my
every
God.
Heart, there's not an ounce of that thing in your heart.
My God. My God. My God.
You guys with me?
Yeah.
Who's ever had that stuff going on? Memories and flashbacks that was making you feel bad, trying to disjoint you, and trying to make you feel guilty, trying to make you condemn, and all of a sudden you thought the whole goal was stopping thinking it and trying to get it out of you instead of not embracing it as you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
It's happened to so many people.
Yes, it has.
Condemns people, makes them feel bad, it disjoints them, all of a sudden they're veiled, they're not even communing with God because they feel guilty or condemned, and they think until they stop remembering that, they really can't move forward spiritually.
My God.
Though the fact that you are remembering that is a thrust forward spiritually.
Yes, it is.
We need to
yes,
work.
It is. Amen. Yes, it is.
Are you guys all okay with all that?
Yes.
Are you good? It's exciting stuff to me. I got to watch my time here. I got to move on. See, I get to preach and all kinds of stuff. But I got to do this with it. As you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So we're established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. The reason you abound in the faith of thanksgiving, like 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, you know, it talks about rejoicing always and pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. And it talks about you staying and remaining sanctified, spirit, soul, and body until the day he comes. So why in everything give thanks? It keeps you separated from a self-centered, how things are affecting me view. Keeps you from ever feeling sorry for yourself, turning inward, or ever living from the view of selfishness. Thankfulness. When your thankfulness stops, you've internalized something, you've lost your thankfulness, you've taken something personal, you're overwhelmed by how it's affecting you has become bigger than what you're called to be.
That's good.
You got something? That's why thankfulness is all through the Bible, and it's huge and important because you always have something to be thankful for.
Yes, yes.
I mean, even in the face of loss, of death, you got something to be thankful for.
Yes, yes.
You guys with me?
Yes.
Because Jesus already won for us. We have life eternal. We're going to be with him forever. We can't lose that. We can keep our eyes on him.
Yes.
We're already in.
Yes.
Probably going to be all right to have a good day, huh?
Yeah.
You probably have permission. Now beware. Lest anybody tell you anything different. See, if somebody cheats you and robs you and holds you captive and binds you up through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world. It's called the way that seems right to a man. And not according to Christ. We just talked about being established in him, build up in him, right? Beware lest anybody cheat you that you start letting in thinking and mindsets that aren't coming from Christ, that aren't empowered by truth. You be careful you don't get snared and waylaid by the basic principles of life.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying. And not according to who? To Christ. Watch. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, total expression of who He is. Right? Now watch. And you are complete in Him. And He happens to be the head of all principality and power. And you are complete in Him. See how important it is to see your life in Him, through Him, and by Him? You're not a confessing Christian. Christ is in you. You're not serving doctrine. You're one with God. There's a difference. So I'm going to back up, and I want you to look at something, and I'm going to spring off, and we're going to talk just a little bit and make it short and sweet and rosy, and I'm going to pray for the sick. It's going to be fun. Don't think I'm rushing. I don't know how to rush. I'll still take a long time to do all this. I'm just warning you. No, I'll do my best. We don't have to stay all night, man. Look at verse 7. Rooted, build up in Him, and what? Now watch. It doesn't say established in faith. He says established in what? The faith. Or the faith. That's awesome how you said that. Is that because you're way down in Mississippi? Yeah? Awesome. It's been caught my attention. Now what says? The Bible says contending for the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Be established in the faith. Romans 3, the obedience to the faith. There's this phrase all through the New Testament. The faith. The faith. The faith. He's not talking about a tool that a Christian uses to get a prayer answer.
That's right.
The faith has nothing to do with believing for a new job. The faith has nothing to do with believing for a pay raise. The faith has nothing to do with believing for a specific healing in your body. The faith is not a tool to get an answer to prayer from God. The faith is a perspective and a view you now live from now that He's come. Watch this, 1 Peter 1:5. Satan's coming. He's roaming like a roaring lion. And he's seeking whom he may. So he's looking for weakness, vulnerability, lack of understanding. He's looking for somebody he can mess with and get away with. It says, resist him, standing steadfast in the faith. He's talking about a perspective you live by. Because if you don't have that perspective, when he's messing with you, trying to devour you, you take personalized, God, let this happen to me. What door did I open? Why did the devil do this? What did I do wrong? I can't believe this is always happening to me. How can things be bad for me? Oh, God. Ah! Now you just need prayer, and you shook all out. Resist him, standing steadfast in the faith. The faith is what you become now that he came. The faith is your reason for being, your existence now that he came. It's the truth you live by now that the truth's been revealed. The unity of the faith. The unity of faith. We're to teach and train, and no longer get tossed from but grow in the unity of faith. He says one spirit, one mind, one faith. He's not talking about believing for things. He's talking about perspective you live by. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Come on, this is really important because I don't see this established at large in the church across the nation. I see people only doing as good as things are going.
Yeah.
Did you get me? I see it a lot. You say, how you doing, man? And they share their two biggest challenges and crises and say, please keep me in prayer. I'm hanging in there. They weigh how they're doing by how things are going instead of who he is in them and how they're going. You guys with me? Come on, this stuff is so important. Where you're just going to live from day to day, from crisis to crisis, instead of in Christ, and you're going to say you're praying your way through. You might be distracted for years, and it renders you unproductive.
That's right.
Now you're just trying to survive. You're reduced to getting by instead of showing. Why? Because we're not established in the faith. The faith, as you have been taught. They were teaching this stuff back then. It's often in Scripture. That's why I quote so much Scripture. But watch this. Nobody ever taught me the faith. They taught me to have faith, taught me to live by faith, in the sense of belief for healing, belief for this, belief for that, believe God can do anything. This faith he's talking about has nothing to do with that. The primary use of faith in your Bible, when you see it through the New Testament, is actually the eye you live from. The lamp of your body, not a tool to get things.
That's
right. I could quote so many faith scriptures for you, and they almost all point to your perspective. Not being moved away from what you believe. Standing firm and standing fast. Watch what Paul said. This is amazing. You guys know this. This is a pretty popular scripture.
Right.
But this really see what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. Why is it a good fight?
You already got the answer. You already win, man. You already got the victory. The whole time you're fighting for victory. You can't lose
unless you get your eyes off of him, unless you give up, unless you draw back. It's a good fight. It's not a dreaded fight. It's not a heavyweight bout that goes 12, 15 rounds without each judge, and it's a split decision. It's a good fight.
You win because Jesus knocked the devil out.
Hallelujah.
In Christ, you become more than a... How are you more than a conqueror? He conquered. The one that conquered, conquered. How are you more than a conqueror? Did you ever think about that stuff? More than a conqueror. Well, the conqueror sounds like he's on top. He's the conqueror. How are you more than the conqueror? You guys know who R.W. Shaw was? Some of you old school folks definitely know that name, right? And is he taught more than the conqueror one time. It made me laugh so hard I was just saved. He said, let me explain more than the conqueror. He said, you got this heavyweight fighter. He said, he's in the ring. He's fighting it out and he's fighting. And he said, he stands in the whole 12 rounds. He takes blows, but man, he's giving blows. At the end of the 12 rounds, he stands there, and they hold up his hand. He just won heavyweight, title of the world. He's the champion. He just conquered. He's the conqueror. He's the heavyweight champion of the world. He said, they come to that man, and they give him whatever million-dollar purse they hand him. He said, and he leaves, he's conqueror. He goes home. He says, honey, I won. Hands the check to his wife, and she just becomes more. So what did Jesus do? What did he do? He fought. He hung on that cross. He paid a price that only he could pay. He became what we were to give us what he is. We just exchange. And all of a sudden, through simple faith, we don't have to hang there and die. We just carry our cross. We don't hang and die on it. We go under the water for 1 second at best in sincere faith and come out and step into everything he accomplished when we understand. All of a sudden, Jesus hands us the check and the thing he accomplished, and we become more. Because you didn't even have to achieve it. You stepped into it.
Yes, Lord.
You tell me God isn't good.
Yes.
People want to complain. They just don't understand. They want to let life speak louder than truth and all this crazy stuff. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, God puts Jesus on the cross. He literally had to die. He beat beyond the scripture. We, by faith, wanted the word and step up and have the grace to be transformed when we're sincere. All you do is get wet. Well, unless you get baptized by me, because I'm a good pastor, I'll hold you down until the bubbles stop. And I'll make sure you're dead. When we bring you up, and you get new life, you know it's from God. 40 seconds after the last bubble, you got Jesus! baptism tomorrow. You hear it? Water baptism is where you go to die.
That's right.
It's not just an ordinance. You go to die. It's not the last thing on your list. It has meaning and significance and power. You go to die, and you die in the likeness of his death, so you raise in the newness of life. Jesus had to go through that thing to pay for that thing. We step into it by faith. I think we got a pretty good ending point.
Yes.
I'll bet you fellowship.
Yes.
I fought the good fight in 1 Timothy, I think it's 6. You don't have to go there. Yeah. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay on to eternal. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called. Look, that's the day you get born again. Eternal life starts when you believe.
Yeah.
Because you were dead the minute before. Don't make it a point in time out there. Just get a bigger vision than today. You're running a race worthy of a prize. You're writing a testimony, leaving a legacy. You're not letting anything stop life and faith.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I've been praying and nothing changed. I'm discouraged. He didn't change. Your productivity doesn't have to change. You don't have to have things change for you to manifest him.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
It's so simple. I fought the good fight. Watch. I have finished the race. Do you hear what Paul's saying? Paul's in a race. He's not living a confession. He's not serving a doctrine. He's not just a member of the church. He's running a race. You say, well, that's because he was an apostle. That's because he had... No, no, no. You're lights in the world. These signs follow those that...
Yes.
Don't lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That's your calling. Yes. Are you believers?
Yes.
These signs follow the gifted. These signs follow the itinerant minister. These signs follow. These signs follow those who the healing anointing rests upon. These signs follow those who
believe. Yes.
Are you believers?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, you fail.
Yes, Lord.
Why don't people lay hands on the sick? Because they don't believe
that
God will heal through them. Mm-hmm. It's not that you don't believe God will heal. They might believe God will heal through you, so they bring their friend to you.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they prayed for their friend and nothing happened, so they set their belief on results instead of finished work truth.
Yeah.
Wow. And then they never grow up into him. They're always changing their belief according to circumstances.
Right. My God. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll talk about it in a minute.
My God.
A long minute. I'll look at there. Are you guys making sense of this stuff?
Yeah.
I finished the race. Now you think about Paul's life and persecution.
Wow.
Late in Acts, he says, you know what? I'll tell you how it's boiled down here. No matter what city I'm heading to, the Holy Spirit says, change in prison's awake. But you know what? I just scared me like that too.
Boss. And man, you really must know.
I knew all along. I just knew why. He said, you know, you called me Ralph twice in the service. I said, boss. Somebody said, bless you. Really? Watch this. All I know is chains and prisons are waiting me. Holy Spirit's telling me. But none of these things move me. Because I don't count my own life dear in order that I might fulfill the will of Him.
Wow.
Amen.
You hear He's in a race? 2 Corinthians, He talks about all the things He goes through and calls them a brief moment of light affliction compared to the eternal weight of His glory.
Yes.
Do you hear faith in that?
Yes.
Do you hear the faith?
Yes.
That's the faith. Yeah, but brother, they've been hard on me. Yeah, but brother, the believers really broke my heart. Yeah, but I used to go to church, but you know, they really, but you know what happened. What about the faith?
Yeah.
See, when did this just become about us and how we feel and what we're going through when we sing it's all about Him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being mean, I'm just being relatable and real.
Lord help us.
Come on, I'm calling you into something that's powerful and awesome, rock solid. Because Paul, this is triumphant right here, man. He's like, woo! He knows he's about ready to go get martyred. He knows. He just knows. I'm telling you, he knows. And he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. Watch. I have kept the faith. He didn't say, I have lived by faith.
No.
That's different. He said, I have kept the faith. He's talking about a specific perspective that every Christian should have. That I love not my own life unto death. My life's not my own. Come hell or high water, he will shine. We aren't turning back. It's not an option. We endure hardship. We're a good soldier. Our lives are a city set on a hill, and we're going to make his great name known. Whether we live or whether we die, we do it unto the Lord. So we haven't preached yet. We've preached blessings, prosperity, protection, and one of those things get out of whack. We go, wow, what am I doing wrong? Where's God?
Yep.
And all of a sudden you become what you're going through instead of manifest and reveal what he went through. And all of a sudden you're a product of your circumstances instead of a product of his life.
So true.
Man, it's just crazy. There's just no way around it. It's just so solid. This is what Paul's saying. Guys, he said, I have kept the faith.
God help us.
What a testimony. Because if you can say that at the end of your race,
yes.
Then everything else falls in place.
Yes.
And it's not just about how many kingdoms you build, how many people you let in, or how many days you can church. If God says, well done, a good and faithful servant,
yeah.
You've kept the compact.
Yep.
Everything else is in place.
Amen.
And his legacy for all time goes down in history on behalf of the king as a believer.
That'd be good.
So I guess the just shall live by faith. We need to understand the faith so the just can live by that faith. Amen?
Amen.
It's who we become now that he came. Living the faith. So when adversity comes, it's the faith. If somebody does you wrong, the faith.
Yeah.
You never lose sight of who you've become now that he's king. We've gotten notorious in church for gathering together to see what God might do for us in need instead of coming together to be more like him. The reason Holy Spirit hovers over the waters is to bring definition to things and make things clear as God speaks. The reason you say, come, Holy Spirit, is so he makes us look more like our Father.
Yes,
do. Not just so he does cool things that amaze others.
That's right.
Because in his love, he's always going to do cool things.
Amen.
The goal is being more like him. I'll give you one more scripture about the faith. I didn't preach this out like I could. I'm just giving you a real quick version because we've got something else we need to accomplish and it'll be fun. I already told you that. Galatians 2, I'll close with this on this topic. You guys got something out of that little thought right there? You got to always go back to the faith, the fight. You got to fight the good fight. You believe God. Satan's come and roaring around, trying to booing about resistance, steadfast in. Jesus told one of the churches in Revelations chapter 2, he said, you know, Satan's coming to throw some of you and test some of you and throw you in prison as many as 10 days. Stand strong and resist him in the faith. In other words, don't take the test personally. Don't say, why me? And don't identify with the problem. Identify with who you become.
Yes.
Throw out complaining. Stay overwhelmed with thanksgiving and never lose sight of the truth, because truth makes you free.
Amen.
It's not the gospel I grew up being taught. That's the gospel I read everywhere I look in my Bible. I mean, you think about Friday, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, tonight, how many scriptures we preach in these few services that all say the same thing. And then when you see them through this light, they all make sense and make a beautiful picture. We always just frame it, hang it up, and live by it.
It's called perfect.
Amen.
Yes.
Galatians, you guys know this. It's 2:20. And I want you to see the language. See, when he said, every time you hear the word the faith, it would be safe to interpret it into perspective. Your eye, the lamp you live by. If your eye is single, what you talk about? The faith. If your eye is single, your whole body is flooded with light. It doesn't say unless, of course, you're challenged with many issues at the moment. It says, if you see clear, you'll live clear. Narrow is the way. Broad is the way. Destruction. There's many that are traveling there. That's a wide view lens. That's multiple choice options. But if your view is narrow, if your eye is single, one voice, just looking through truth, your body, your whole body, flooded with light. It's actually safe to say the faith perspective. Everybody okay with that? If God can change your perspective, do you believe he can change your whole life?
Yes.
Do you believe your responses will be different?
Yes.
The faith, perspective. Keep that in mind, okay? Because it's not a play on words, it's just powerful. Watch this. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. See, we did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. We died. That's why I hold you to the boat stop. To make sure. Just in case anybody's laying back on me. Just trying to get a blessing. You were playing on the Slipper Riverbank. You're in now. Come, Lord. Please. You know, and if you don't rise up, you'll be stiff forever. You believe right before you die. So you really got much numbers to lose. It's a joke. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. This is Christianity, guys. It's coming from Paul, who we respect, who's a teacher. Don't just limit this to Paul and say, well, he had to be this way. He was an apostle. He was a Christian. Come on. Jesus raises from people. Say, well, I was the apostles. Yeah, and he raises from the dead and says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now you go. So he gives them the authority, you go into every nation, make disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe everything I taught you. That means if he's talking to Peter, James, and John, he's talking to me. It's so simple, and we made it so hard. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Watch this. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. The faith. What? I live by the perspective of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me.
Yeah.
Guess what I do now? Love you and give my life for you. Because it's no longer I who live. And somehow we started teaching blessings and breakthrough and provision and favor in your day and get this. And we got tons of discouraged people that go to church every week. Because what they were taught hasn't happened, and they're wondering what's wrong.
That's good.
So they send a little more money over here, get a little more prayer here, sow a little seed for breakthrough here, get a little more prayer here, call this ministry, give this one, and this one, and this one, and get a breakthrough. And they're always pushing to get something from God instead of become something because of God.
My God.
Done. I've seen it for 20 years of Christianity. It breaks my heart because it hurts a lot of times. That's why I shout that so loud and clear. You can't not hear what I'm saying.
Yeah. You can try not to listen, but it's not going to work.
Because it's too clear. It's not possible. And you don't even have to jump on the bandwagon to agree and believe. You can just say, I don't believe that. Well, it's right in the Word. I've shared it on the scripture, but the truth is the fact that you're hearing him become alive. Holy Spirit always has a voice in this arena. He can even compel you and turn you into his place because he loves you. But you know this has been clear. This is full of scripture. So I've asked Holy Spirit, if I'm going to preach in front of people all the time like I do, then you've got to let it be clear. You've got to teach through me and speak through me in such a way where people can't yell but their way around what you're saying. I've cried out and I've asked God, and I believe he does it. I said, I want you, Lord, please, to make it in a way that when I'm done preaching, a man only has two options. I hear what you're saying and I want it. Or I hear what you're saying and I just don't want it. About the love of God in me. Anything else that can confuse you, Lord? Half preaching, half truth. Children can hear and understand what we're saying in this room. Oh, to hear the testimonies and see the things that I've seen from children, the letters I get. I got two last week. I keep it on my. I said, well, my wife, read this. I told her about it. She went, oh my goodness, you wrote this. Yep, you sat like this the whole time. And they both wrote me notes of how they're really listening and really understanding and getting so much. I don't know what you say, Pastor Dan. You're amazing. You're an example of Jesus to me. And you have encouraged my heart.
Wow. Okay.
I was in a service one night. I'm not going to do it to you, but I did it to them. I preached over 3 hours and didn't know it. And nobody else did. Nobody looked at their clock. And I saw the clock and realized it. I panicked. I said, is that the time? Was that clock there all night? I thought the sound then took it down. Sometimes they do that. Women took the clock down so the pastor don't look at it. And I thought somebody thought, oh, this isn't funny anymore. We better put it up. Because all of a sudden, this big old, it's like a school clock with a big white face with the black letters, and you can't miss it. It looks like a full moon. I didn't see it all night. I'm just preaching. People are sitting. I'm preaching. People are sitting. And then I'm preaching. People are sitting, right? And I go, oh. I said, oh my goodness, is that the time? And they're going, huh? And you hear the groan like, oh. They said, I shattered the church record. Shattered. I got a lot of church records. I go, church preaching records. I got a lot of them.
I'm holy, baby. Quarterback get the most yards thrown. I want the most hours preached.
I said, oh, my goodness, guys, I am so sorry. I said, I had no idea. They were, we didn't either. Can that be the time? Everybody's like, nobody's like, yeah, brother, we've been waiting for you to quit. It was just one of the moments you had to bend their gracious in the room. Nobody knew it was that long. And when I said, I need to stop, a seven-year-old stood up and leaned up with panic. She leaned forward with panic in her face and said, I said, I need to wrap this up. She said, no. You're sitting in the second row, right where you guys are. And I said, no. I said, honey, I've been preaching for hours. Guys sitting right here for 3 hours and 6 minutes I have on my cell phone. I said, honey, I've been preaching for 3 hours. She said, I don't care. I get so much out of what
you
say. Yeah. Yeah. I said, how old are you? She said, 7. I said, honey, I don't think you'd be pulling on your mom's arm saying, if you go home, is this guy ever going to stop? She said, oh, no, sir.
Yeah.
I get so much out of it.
Hmm. 7 years old? Lest you become like God.
Child.
You by no means enter in. It's a place of innocence. You become a little child, he's a goofy gaga. It's a place of innocence. The life I live by the faith of who? Son of God. I live by the perspective that took him to the cross, that caused him to never grow weary and to hunger. Oh, I'm not here to just sing to him and pray to him when things are tight. I'm going to follow. Because he asked me to.
And the wonder is,
where they will rise and walk in a manner. You get it? Come on, guys. So don't grow weary in well doing. Don't let circumstances speak louder than truth. Don't define yourself by how things go. Always define yourself.
Yeah.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
You get something out of that little message. We touched a couple other things along the way. But the faith is what I'm going to cry out to you. Right? It's what you call to live. It has nothing to do with a tool to get prayers answered. It's the idea of the life. Respect with you. Good deal, fair enough.
You want to pray for the sick? You want to? Good. Come on, you gotta get excited about that. Something good to help you.
See, brother, I just want you to learn and move on. There's days ago. I used to do that. And then you know what happened? Everybody called you a healing ministry, a healing ministry. Right. When you came into town, everybody brought all the sick to the service for you to pray for them. Nobody in the church was getting trained, equipped, empowered. The Lord had a good talk to me about that a long time ago, about 12 years. He said, hey, he said, what you're doing is also in the revelation, the relationship you have with me, the things you see. But who are you training? Who are you equipping? Who are you going to empower? How are you going to find the people with the grace that you're walking in? I heard him think about that. See, I've been thinking about that. Yes, sir. So I've been thinking about that. Why? Because these signs follow those bleed.
Yes.
Guess what the number one reason is Christians don't pray for the sick when they don't pray for the sick? I know we say it's unbelief, but do you know what the number one reason is? They're afraid nothing will happen. They don't want to get involved. They just rather somebody else pray. They'd rather minister come. They'd rather you line them up and pray up front. They don't want to get involved because they're afraid nothing will happen. Watch the darkness. When you don't pray for the sick because you're afraid nothing will happen, you already have what you're afraid of. Nothing because you won't pray.
My God.
That's incredible, guys. Come on. Hello. That's like freak us out. I think that's losing by default. Come on.
Why you pray for the sick is why nothing happens?
Well, you already got it. See, it means we're still alive, we're loving our own lives, and we're thinking too much, we're saving face instead of laying it on that. Is it okay if I just talk plain like that? You know what I mean, right? Yeah. I'm smiling the whole time, I'm not mad at everybody. Did anybody feel spanked this weekend? Come on, you might have scratched and corrected it. But nobody's condemned, I'm not mad at you. I didn't fly down here to correct you, I flew down here to tell you who you are. You follow me? I don't have a need to correct you. Are you kidding? But I sure do to cheer you on. Say, hey, this is who we become. And when you cast that light, when you shine that light, it exposes all darkness. And it moves away those things that have been stopping us from. Right? It's spontaneous. So here's the deal. Tonight we're going to pray for the sick. When you pray for the sick, the key is that you believe the finished work of Christ is enough. And you believe that what he accomplished is the reason we believe in healing. We don't believe in healing because of the hurting and suffering. We don't want to see him suffer. We believe in healing because of the gospel, because of the finished work, because God sent his son, and Jesus died and rose from the dead. So it's by his stripes we are healed. So we see redemption through the cross. We realize that he shed his blood to pay the penalty for sins committed, gave his body to remove the penalty incurred for that fall. That's why by his stripes we are. So when Jesus put his son on the cross, anything hanging on a pole has been cursed by God. So he didn't curse his son. He made his son to be sin. But even numerous sins made to be sin, so we can stand righteous and right in the sight of God. So he cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over us.
Yes.
So we're not reaping what we sowed, we're reaping what he sowed.
Thank you.
So unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood, you by no means have life. Why? Because it's through Christ. You're in him. You're established in him. So we're not praying because we have a promise for healing. Faith comes through the fact that Christ finished the work. It's not just the promise for healing. It's understanding that he paid the price for redemption. He took away sin and he marked people righteous. If he marked people righteous, there's no landing strip for the penalty of unrighteous. You guys with me? It's exciting today. In the wilderness, they were loathing the bread. I talked about this morning, complaining. Man, and these serpents came, fiery dudes, and they were biting people, and they were dying by the thousands. It's a really freaky story. It like sounded really like, well, these fiery serpents, they came and they were biting people. And they were dying. Thousands. They started to cry out and they said to Moses, Moses, we sinned. Would you go to God? Would you tell him that we're aware that we've sinned and we're sorry? Or would you ask him to relent, to move this thing, to change this thing? Moses goes, there's another road, throws some dust on his head, and he went through some clothes back there in the children of Israel. Poor Moses, I mean, they had him in there all the time. Moses, God comes, he hears Moses, he comes and meets with Moses. He's type of shadow of Christ, people. He's the high priest, he's representing the people of God, and God's the people. Jesus said, even as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. We said, well, that's the death. He was signifying the death by which he would die. You know, the Bible would say that in parentheses. And it's true. I mean, I understand that, but there's so much more. Even as Moses, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. So is he just saying he's going to hang on a pole like Moses did with the serpent? Or is there significance? I bet there's significance. They come. Moses, please, go to God. God goes. Moses goes to God. God comes to Moses. He says, Moses, I hear you. Listen, I hear you. I love you. Tell you what I need you to do. That serpent that's biting, you go make a replica of that serpent on bronze. You put it on a pole and you lift it before the children of Israel. And it'll be that whoever was bitten, when they look at that, they'll be healed. Okay? I'm reading that 19 years ago. I'm scratching my head on my bed, and I'm like, Lord, I don't get this. Like, you know, graven image stuff. And why don't you make a bronze image of the thing that's killing and destroying and have Moses lift it before the people? Why don't you wave a flag that says Yah? Why don't you love Aaron's rod that was? Why don't you just take the tablets of stone and the Ark of the Covenant? Why don't you do something that points to you? Why don't you make a serpent bronze, a replica of the thing that's killed and hang on a pole? He said, because they're my human people. They don't want to let it go off. Anything hanging on a pole has been cursed by God. So when Moses made the replica and hang on the pole, they looked and said, look, God, Moses prayed to God and God heard his prayer. He just cursed what's killing us. And faith rose in our heart and you.
Come on. That's good.
Even as, so shall. He doesn't want you to see a suffering Savior boo hoo on Easter morning. He wants you to see sin cursed in the flesh. And sin shall have no dominion over me. For the law of the Spirit of life, through Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin. Even as, so shall. So you look and you say, wow, God didn't curse his son on the cross. God cursed sin in the flesh. God took what was killing me and put it on him. And now I'm going to live.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good day. Even as, so shall. Anything hanging on a pole, cursed by God. He hangs that serpent up there. And those people said, wow, God just smoked that thing. It has no more power over us. Now that it's hanging on the pole, it's a sign that God cursed it. It's cursed. It can't win anymore. Wow. And they were instantly healed.
My God.
So shall Son of Man.
See why we pray for the sick.
Not prisoner sick. Because if God didn't do this, we'd be presumptuous to think he'd heal. We don't pray for the sick because they're sick. We pray for the sick because faith works in our heart, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And it works through love. It's what he's done that gives us faith to pray for the sick. It's called redemption. It's called brought back to original value. It's like we've never eaten that tree. Forgiven and judged in righteousness. So listen, really seriously, we've made this thing so complicated healing because of the things that haven't happened. So we try to pray harder. We try to pray more. We try to pray better. Sometimes louder. Sometimes we get creative with the name of Jesus. Just saying. And we turn him into a rabbit in a hat.
My God.
And we make his name synonymous to abracadabra. And we get trapped in applying principles to get results.
My God, so true.
Now we're waving another flag, blowing an extra shofar, trying to get the tunes
right.
I'm in the church. I know what we do.
That's right.
I'm not excited about it. I'm not proud of it. That's why I'm this. And it's not because we're insincere. It's not because we're hypocrites. It's actually because we are sincere. Grace on us to see people suffering and we just want to respond.
Yes.
But you know you're getting.
Yes.
So you know what we're going to do tonight?
We're going to pray simple prayers with no music. I'm going to make the atmosphere as dry as I possibly can, so that you can't live by feelings. And
because if you're looking for atmosphere at the gas pump in the Walmart parking lot, it's probably not there. She's probably not singing behind you. He's probably not working them strings.
That's right.
It's probably not the way it's going.
Unless you want to come along with me all the time, everywhere I go.
It's probably not the way it is.
That's right.
Probably sometimes it's a pass by. They're in a hurry. They ain't hooking up. They're not so sure where you're coming from. They've been touched wrong by a lot of things. They're still trying to figure you out. And it's just the Holy Ghost drive by, and you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And there's no fuzzies and there's no There's just faith in your heart, believing on the will of God, you see the burden, and you just stop and you take interest.
That's good.
And when you're out there like that, and you're doing that, don't you pray over all their generations and all their forefathers, and 2 minutes later you're still opening up in prayer. They're already freaked out that you started praying. They already feel focused on it. Most of the time, people are a little nervous. You need to understand that. You're there to bless them, not embarrass them.
That's right.
So you don't lock, shut your eyes, and pray for 3 minutes. That is a long time for them to stand in the mall looking over their shoulder wishing you would stop. It's real simple. Oh, what'd you do, man? You look like you're really in pain. I fell off a ladder. Man, it hasn't been running. We hope it goes away, but I guess I'm going to have to get it looked at. Man, I really messed it up bad. Was it in your hip? Is it in your knee? I don't know. It's just kind of there. I don't know. I'm almost thinking we're talking about a strained nerve or a fractured something. The pain's incredible, man. No way. Listen, I know you're probably in a hurry. You're heading out. Well, yeah, I'm even in a why? Listen, I didn't ask you for information, and I really care about your leg. I need to do something. It's going to be amazing. So let me see your hand. What? It's okay, man. We're right in the middle of the parking lot. Stop the meter. Let me see your hand. sometimes it's best not to even mention Jesus because they might have just enough church background to talk you out of what you believe or get you to not do that. Oh, I don't need you to pray for me. I mean, I pray for myself. We pray. My family prays. We think, oh, I don't need you to pray for me. We pray. The church talks like that. So instead of, wow, I appreciate your brother. Wow, we got the same father. Man, I appreciate you caring about my leg. Here, man, sure, let's pray. Usually it's like, well, look, I don't go to your church. I got my own church. Look, I have my pastor. I know what you're up to, man. That's how the church, unbelievers are really actually cool. You know? Yeah. No, really? You want to pray? Wait, you think God can feel this change? That's what I'm believing, man. Let's see what's real. Come on, let's go for it, ready? Christians are like this. So it's best not to say anything because you get into doctrinal debates that release of the kingdom.
That's right.
And you can work your way around it. The more you get used to talking to people and stuff, I have a pretty good way of just getting around it. I can't teach all that because it's not a method. It's just you just grow confident in these things. The key is that you don't have any pretense. You actually care about them.
Amen.
You're not trying to get a testimony. That's for sure. She said, man, just let me see it. He says, what? He doesn't even know what you're going to do. He's like, are you going to read my palm? Or So let me see your hand, man. So he just does like that. He has no clue. He just feels like this. Real simple. You don't even make a scene. Father, I just thank you right now for your amazing love for him. God, I thank you in Jesus' name. Let you be healed, pain you leave. And you fall out of King Jesus. That's simple. A whole lot of the time, they're standing there looking at you like a deer. Because they already felt that thing change and they're freaked out. They don't even know what to do. I've seen it more times than I can ever recall. They're like, hey, what'd you just do, man? I just prayed. No, man. What'd you just do? Like, it's not there. I didn't expect it to be. That's why I stopped you. Listen, it's not what I did. I say this a lot. It's not what I did, but I tell you what, somebody did something a long time ago. He's amazing.
Yeah,
it's good.
His name is Jesus.
It's good.
And you know what? He lives in him. And he wants to live in him.
And you just go for the spiritual juggler. I'm kidding.
See, it's my goal. This will sound strange, especially to old school people. My goal when I stop him isn't to get him to pray to the pen.
Come on.
My goal is to love him. Jesus, the greatest encounter he's ever had. And let Holy Spirit save his heart. I'm not getting him to recite a prayer. I'm not trying to save him.
Come on.
I'm loving him.
Somewhere,
and God gives me increase. He looks at me with tears and says, that's amazing. Dude, I don't have any pain. How is that possible? And you explain it more, and he says, well, this is how the planning done. How can I know him like that? I mean, he's real to you. Charles is very real to me, and he wants to be. But how can I know? Come on, man. Just give me your hands. Oh, Jesus, would you come? I'm going to know him. What's your name? Bill. Bill? What's your name? Jesus. Jesus? Bill. You just pray? Yes, Holy Spirit. You teach him water baptism if you can. Stay in touch with him. I'm just passing through a lot of times. So I've taken people to the hotel swimming pool. I've taken a couple people to my hotel room bathtub. That's how serious I am.
Pointed at their balls to stop. Because if I could get them to die, I'd get them to live.
My goal isn't to get them saved. I know that sounds crazy, and there's pastors that would just argue tooth and nail. And watch, whatever city you're in, Luke 10. Heal the sick there.
Yes, sir.
What city?
Whatever.
I guess that's here.
Yeah.
Heal what sick?
The
I guess they're in. And tell them It doesn't say, and lead them in the prayer of salvation. We came up with that.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And tell them the kingdom of God.
Yes.
In other words, they don't know a thing. You're going up praying, they're getting healed, and they're going, what just happened? You're telling them the kingdom and letting the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's good.
Yeah. And then it was something. Yeah. Every time in the Bible people got saved, they saw the Christians' lives and said, what must we do?
Yes.
To be saved.
That's
right. Come on. What must we do to be saved? It wasn't going out and doing what we do today, trying to get everybody to pray a prayer to get their name in the book.
That's right.
We can live this way, guys. We can get involved. Watch this. I'm convinced the more people we pray for, the more things we'll see, the more things we'll grow into. And here's the good news. You don't turn faith into a point in time. It's not a cop-out. It's not a plan B. So say this is Bill, and I just prayed for Bill, and he's a deer in the headlights. And he's like, dude, that's a no-brainer. That's easy. We just have fun with that. It was Jesus. Yeah. Wonder if I say, okay, man, check your leg for me. How is it? And he says, well, you know, it does feel different. I mean, no, it still hurts, but I don't know what's going on. It doesn't hurt as bad. It's not fighting me like it was. It's not. Something feels different. You'll see that sometimes. And you say, well, listen, man, that's exciting. It's not happenstance. That's not emotion, not mind over matter, because you're still trying to figure out what I'm doing. It's Jesus, man. He's moving. Let's pray one more time. Do you have time? 5 seconds. Nobody will know what we're doing. Let's pray one more time. So that most of the time when you already really know it's different, I'll say, yeah, man, come on.
Yeah.
You'll pray one more time. You'll be amazed how it'll go away or get even better. If I have momentum and I'm getting more, I never stop as long as they'll let me keep praying. I don't try to figure out why. I wonder why I'm walking in half an anointing. I wonder why I'm only half. I don't get that. That's just sticky stuff to me. I don't have time for it. I wonder what I'm doing wrong. No, I'm loving you. I ain't doing nothing wrong with you. Watch. I've learned this. That better plus a little better plus a little better plus a little better sooner or later equals full.
Yeah.
So you just keep praying as long as they'll let you. And if they tell you, look, man, this is awesome, I definitely feel better, but I gotta get to work. And you go, okay, awesome. Listen, I'm excited. That thing's coming out of you. Hear it?
Don't be afraid to say that thing's coming out of you, man. Look how you've changed in this little bit of time. I don't have strong answers. I'm trying to get into the whole theology of why I did completely go right now. But here's the deal. If I lay hands on the sick, they recover. You let me. I'm excited. We did it. Amen.
Yes.
Go have a great day. He gets out of his car and goes into work, and he's like, wow. Now guess what? You say, well, did you lead him to the Lord? I gave.
Yes.
So now he goes to work and has to deal with that. Now he has to deal with that. Oh. Here's the other thing that might happen when you're off and you pray for the sick. So you pray for him, and he's just looking at him and says, what's going on here? I just feel the same. He says, we're so afraid of that. That's why people don't step out. They're so afraid of that.
That's right.
You see, it feels the same. Yeah, it hurts bad. Listen, man, you're encouraged. Well, you know, I kind of do have to go, man. I appreciate you praying. Heck, some people say, thanks for trying.
Oh, I don't like that.
Thanks for trying tonight. Try it.
It's just like, dog, you want everybody to do it.
But they're like, well, thanks for trying, though, man. Thanks for giving it a shot. You're like, listen, man, we weren't trying to give it a shot. Here's the deal. The Bible says, if I believe, I lay hands on the sick, I'll recover. Listen. I never turned faith into a point in time. I counted it real honor that you allowed me into your space, into your life, and allowed me to pray for you. I'm excited about the possibilities of what God's doing. I'm excited about you being restored, getting better. In fact, you check on that thing. You get out of your car, work, you check on that thing, an hour or two, and you think about what you said. So I'm going to pray for you and rejoice that you let me into your world and touch this thing. I believe God's changing it. Thanks, man. Have an awesome day. Usually, no argue. Thankful, and they see this sincere, because when you walk away, there's no string attached. You can pass an offering basket, you can get your church card, you can tell them you just loved them without a string, and that's not out there.
Yes.
Even in the church, that's not out there.
Yeah.
You give them a bottle of water on a hot day so you can evangelize them. It sounds Christian. They see it as a marketing tool.
Yes, sir.
They're not impressed with a bottle of water. They see it as a marketing tool.
Yeah.
When do you give them water because they're thirsty? Listen, man, I learned this thing the hard way as a pastor. When you take these people out on the streets, and we're like, we in the city, whatever we call this stuff, you know. We all come to church, we got all our tracks printed there. We put in extra tracks. Storm the city. That's what's going on. We all pray. We all hand out tracks. You know, we do it like twice a year. We all ramped up, 35 people show up, we're in the parking lot, everybody's holding hands. They're praying in tongues, man, like wow, right? You put them a stack of tracks. They run into the city streets. Hey man, do you hear the good news? So we go in there, storm the city. It seems right, it feels Christian. We go up this precious black man, he's come walking down the street. It was God in disguise, I'm telling you. These girls run up saying, hey sir, do you hear the good news? Jesus really wants you to get in the track. He said, well, I appreciate that. I believe that. Thank you. Then he said, I just don't believe you. I said, excuse me? What? He said, no, I believe you're a church group. You're out on the streets probably once or twice a year making yourself feel good about what you say you are. He said, my question is this. When's the last track you handed out apart from your ministry team in your church group? When's the last time you said to somebody Jesus loves you apart from your church group? Yeah. Come on, guys, this is a human rod. That's what you're doing. You need to go back and get a grip and get a real. And I said, load up in the car. They said, Pastor, you're not going to leave the streets. You're not going to let that man run out of the streets. You're not going to let the devil lie to us and go back. I said, if you couldn't hear God, mm-hmm. You got no ears. False sense of boldness. Mm-hmm. False sense of sincerity. Mm-hmm. False sense of identity. Mm-hmm. You look at how much the church has done over the generations, and every outreach is organized, intentional, ministry driven. Rarely is it as you go.
Yeah.
It's almost always organized. And because it's organized, it loses its edge. And the people that you're ministering to know it's organized.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It's when it's just you guys walking down the street, holding hands, looking at each other.
Because you're doing it. You really do look good together.
You just walk in, you just smile. And all of a sudden you're like, excuse me, sir. And you see him kneeling and you hear him groaning, and he's digging out weeds and he's digging something in his yard. You say, are you okay? Sir, does your hip bump you? My hip, my blanket hip, I'll tell you this hip. And I said, well, no. Right? You gonna be all right? You say, well, listen, man, he's my blanket hip. He said, well, listen, so, how is this? That's one. Now, listen, please, I say this a lot. I usually get tears in my eyes when I say this. I say, please don't say no. I say that before I ask. Please don't say no. I say, no, please, I can pray for you. Oh, I don't. Please don't say no. I wonder if your hip changes. I wonder if it's real. I wonder if I'm not a fool and I've seen this before. I won't be stopping and asking. Please let me pray. Go ahead. That's all I want. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Pray. Sometimes, what the blank? What the blank did you just ask? Blank in your hip and mouth? And how can it not be? I don't fucking understand. I'll see you get crazy like that. And ain't it funny? Holy Spirit don't run away.
Come on.
He's such a big boy. You're the only one bothered by that.
Yeah.
He understands they just don't know any better, but in a minute they can.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, we were yet sinners, he said.
Yes, he did.
I had never seen this in my life. Somebody walking down the street, what'd you do, man? Told him to stay up. No way. Listen, hold still. You're going to love this. Father, I just thank you right now. Man, leadership, it's all right. I'll watch this. Father, I just thank you right now. He goes, what the bleep? And as soon as he swears, he starts limping. I ain't never seen it. You pray for him. He's really limping bad. You pray for him. You say, check it out. He's, are you kidding me? Oh, I don't blame it. Believe this. Should have swore. Take it back. Take it back. It's just so weird. You don't know any better. Amen again. So one of three things happen when you pray for the sick a lot of times. I'd love to see everybody just look at you like a deer in the headlights. That would be easy. Don't turn faith into a point in time. Here's why. I think it can always happen right now because we can grow up into him in all things. But we're growing, aren't we? Yes. How many people still have the reaction of fear in their life? How many people still have to get over feelings? How many people have to ward off offense and hurt? Come on, we haven't arrived. We're growing. Don't judge yourself and don't stop growing. And don't write theology through experience. It's already written through his son. The will of God is revealed through his son, not your experiences.
That's right.
You can't pray for the sick and say, well, it's not the will of God to heal because he didn't heal. That's never been found in your Bible. His own disciples prayed for an epileptic boy and he was not cured. It's written about and nobody's preaching it. It's the only time in the New Testament where men prayed and it didn't happen. Sir, would you please pray? Please, Jesus. He worshipped him and said, Lord, would you please pray for my son? He's an epileptic. He falls in the fire, etc., etc. I brought him to your disciples and he could not cure him. Bummer, it's happened to us. Jesus says, you faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring the boy to me. Who's he talking to? He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
You faithless, perverse generation. The word perverse means twisted. In that sense, he's saying you twisted-minded, corrupted thinking people. Seven chapters before, I sent you out two by two and you did this stuff. You have the authority, you have the green light. Just need to look at me and watch this and I'll show you what it is. Because there's something going on here that's stopping this here. It's causing unbelief. Let me show you again. Watch. How long shall I be with you and bear with you? Is he discouraged? Is he frustrated? Is he ready to beam out of here? He's been telling them, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be turned over. I'm going to die. On the third day I'll rise. He's been telling them. So what he's saying is, guys, we're getting so close. I'm about to hand you the baton of the new covenant, the New Testament church, and you're going to walk and manifest. You're going to become the body of Christ. You're going to become my. You got to get this. Bring the boy to me. Does Jesus ever do anything that's not the will of God? If Jesus does it, is it the will of God?
Yes.
Would he correct his boys if they couldn't have healed the boy? Would he correct them if they didn't have the authority? Would he correct them if they didn't have the green light? Of course not. Did he correct them? When they brought the boy to him, what happened? Instantly delivered. Cast the thing right out. True? Was it the will of God to heal the boy? Was he healed when his own disciples prayed? Was it the will of God to heal the boy? Was he healed when his own disciples prayed? Wow. Then why, when people aren't healed, do we say, well, must have the will of God, we pray? That is a word. See, if you can't find what you say about healing in Jesus' life, change your perspective. Because he's the will of God revealed. They came and asked a beautiful question in verse 19. Why couldn't we do that, Lord? He didn't say, because you ain't got no faith. That's what we say to each other to hurt each other. He said, because of your unbelief. You know what it translates out to say? Because of what you fail to see. because of what your family said. So Jeff has a good friend who just died of cancer. He prayed and prayed and prayed. He watched his body wither and he watched him die. He just laying on his bed and he's weeping. And he's saying, God, I know in my heart is a place to grow you. I know if you touch me, he grows up. God, there's healing you with him. God, I just need you. I need to understand. I want to know, God, would you come and help me? He's not mad. He's not frustrated. He's not cursing God. He's not saying, well, I ain't praying for nobody. He's just crying out to Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus just shows up in his bedroom. And he's laying there saying, God, why wasn't he healed? Jesus, why wasn't he healed? Why would my friend heal him? All of a sudden, Jesus standing right in front of Jeff just. And he says, Jeff, it's just because of what you fell asleep. But truly, I tell you this. If you see what I see, you will do what I do.
Wow.
And Jeff, nothing. Nothing. That's in your Bible. And we fight because of hurt, loss, pain, or pride. It's in your Bible. Why couldn't we heal the boy? Because of your unbelief. Truly, I tell you this. If you have faith, you'll save the mountain. Now cry out to me. You'll save the mountain. And the mountain will lift up and cast into the sea. Nothing will be impossible. However, this kind, what kind? The epilepsy, the sickness, has nothing to do with that. They're not talking about that. They're talking about why they couldn't heal the boy. It's talking about the unbelief, the mindset, the corrupted thinking. Put yourself in their shoes. Epilepsy, manifestation, visual, seizure. Jesus' name, be healed. What happens? Wonder why he still sees him. Wonder why he's not healed yet. Well, if Jesus was here, he'd be healed by now. Wonder what we're doing. The mind engages, and all of a sudden, everywhere you're praying from is through what's not happening, and you're shipwrecked. And Jesus called it perverse thinking, corrupted mind. We write books, 30 Reasons Why Men Aren't Healed. Jesus didn't have the manual in his back pocket. Why? It wasn't his experience. Why did we write the book? To try to make ourselves feel better about what we're troubled with. Trouble is it's at the cost of truth, which makes men free. Because if you embrace one of those 30 reasons, you put a seal over the release of the kingdom of God from your life, because these signs follow those that believe, not those that have a reason why not. Come on. Listen, I'm not here to be insensitive and mad and push theology on you. I've seen way too much to change my mind. I just haven't seen enough. There's more that needs to happen. I watch babies die, and I watch babies live. I watch adults die, and I watch people live. But I've seen way too much because I won't back down. I've seen people live that had to die. I've seen them pull plugs. And bodies changed when the plugs were pulled.
Jeez.
You say, I don't believe you. I understand unbelief is a problem in the church. I need documentation. It's not posting in your own belief. There's still no documentation necessary for faith, and unbelief is never satisfied. Because when you get documentation, you say, well, how do I know that was really there? Unbelief is evil, wretched, and anti-kingdom. And it shouldn't be in the church.
Come on.
Paul said, be careful. There's no evil, unbelieving heart among you.
Yeah.
And we fight over this stuff because we're justifying our own experiences and our own pain. Because we were sincere and we prayed and it didn't happen. And we've taken it personal and it's at the cost of the gospel. So we say what we say to guard our feelings instead of grow up in him. And I thought we were over ourselves and dead to ourselves and had an eternal view, not a sentimental one. Oh, I'm bringing it right now. Okay. Look, my mother died 3 years ago, and she was only 68, so don't tell me I don't understand. You're wrong. She was on more tubes and had more sickness than I've ever seen. She didn't walk for 15 years, and I carried her to bed when I was a young man, and I changed her diapers when I was a young man. Don't tell me I don't understand. Sometimes you need to hear their stories so you don't think I'm just popping off and don't understand. Maybe I do. Maybe I really do. Maybe 3 months after she passed away, I watched somebody else's mother get completely healed from the same disease, get up and walk to her car. Why? Because I won't change my mind. I won't let my mother become personal. The gospel already has.
That's right.
I won't let someone as close as my mother. Come on, a mother, son. I won't let that become greater than truth, because unless you love less your mother, your father, your wife, your children, your houses, your land, and yes, your own life, you'll by no means be my disciple. Because you'll get sentimental, you'll let loss creep in, you'll analytically assess it, and you'll shipwreck your faith. And you'll come up with a spiritual analogy that justifies your position, but it renders you powerless for the rest of your life. You can't say, well, what about your mom? What about Jesus? What about you? What about Jesus? What about Paul Storm? What about Jesus? Are you following those? Are you following Jesus? There's actually a lot of things you can teach on the Torah with the thorn. And they're so misunderstood in the church. The thorn wasn't even serious. We can prove it by the word. And all your Bible would say it's useless to even talk about what Paul Storm was, because there's no way to know. Well, of course there is. It's the word of God. Watch this. Was Paul promised persecutions for the gospel? Was Paul promised to suffer for his name's sake? Was Paul buffeted and beat in his flesh for what he preached? Does Paul have promises on healing? Is there scriptures in the Bible that promise Paul healing? Like forgive all your sins, heal all your disease? Every promise is yes and amen in Christ. Whatever you ask, believing, it shall be done. Do we have those promises?
Yes.
Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you might be. Is any among you sick? Let him ask for the elders to pray with them, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith will, not might, will save the sick. Unless God's not in the mood, it doesn't say that. Do we have promises on healing your body? Watch this. Paul was asking God to remove something he promised he would experience. The buffeting of his flesh. The blows. Look up the word buffet. Blows to the flesh. You get whipped 3 times. You get beat by rods 5 times. You get stoned. You're going to start, God, can you change this? Can you lighten this up? Let me just go into a city and preach and not get thumped. Son, my grace is sufficient for you. If you preach that as healing, here's what you're doing. If you parented your children, watch how evil and twisted the devil is. We have bought into this thing and built camps and things and dug things that God never had nothing to do with, because we are human beings. But the word of God settles it. If you purify your heart and seek out truth and not try to prove yourself. Watch this. If you told your child, if you do this and you do this, I'll do this. And then that child does this and does this, and you sovereignly pull the authority string and say, well, listen, I'll tell you, I know I told you that 6 weeks ago, but I've changed my mind. I'm your parent, you're the child, I don't expect you to understand. Maybe someday you will, but I don't think it's in your best interest that I do this. But Daddy, you said if I did, you would. I know what I said, but you're not the parent, you're the son, you need to understand all of yourself. Daddy knows best, I'm not doing it. But you said, Daddy, you do that one more time to your child, you just taught him I would never take you at his.
Come on.
Let's see how passionate and serious I am about this topic, because it's hurt us horribly. I'm not mad at you. That lie sure gets me wrapped up. We fight over things like Paul's thorn. It's theologically.
Come on.
Paul's asking God to move something. You study out the whole chapter before he made the comment. Perils, 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 perils. When he used the word infirmity, look it up. It means human weakness. Not sickness. If Paul was sick, God told him, I'm not doing what I told you I would. Just receive my grace, it'll get you through. Well then, God, why did you even promise? When can I believe you? If you're subject to change your word, how can I believe? I thought there's no turning or shifting of shadow. Next thing you know, I'd have to question if he still loves me. Or if I'm still saved. Come on, I'm just probing a little here. Paul was asking God to remove something that God promised he'd experience. So his grace is sufficient. And by Acts chapter 21, he said, none of these things are for me. There was a time I was asking God to take it away. But I tell you what, chains and prisons await me, and it's just all right. Because I have a capital of life here. All that was really fun. Come on, if he was talking about sickness, you could never take God at his word. If Jesus one time told somebody, I'd like to heal you, but I can't, it's not God's will, you never know what to believe, and you never could believe, because you might be in that group.
My God.
You show me one person Jesus didn't heal that asked.
My God.
You show me one person that wasn't healed that he prayed for. There's a reason it's like that. So that we could believe, because he's the will of God revealed. When you see him, you see the Father. Not when you see Aunt Millie die and we all prayed. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Not when you see my mother die. Dan, that really shakes me, because I mean, you've seen a lot of healings, and I know you were praying, and if your mother died, I mean, that just scares me and doesn't give me much hope. But I mean, man, if you didn't see her, you don't even know her. Stop. You're not following my experience. You're following Jesus. Get your eyes on him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith.
Yes.
I didn't plan to even go and see all this stuff. Are we okay? I know I'm passionate about coming across this. I'm not trying to be mean towards you. These things have hurt us.
Yes, they have.
I'm not popping off to you. I need you to humbly understand my heart. I have the privilege to see a lot of things because I put myself right in the middle of it. You say, well, you're just gifted. You're just going to stop and see. We're believers.
Yeah.
You say, well, I've never seen anybody get out of a wheelchair. How many did you pray for?
Yeah.
I've never seen blind eyes open. How many did you pray for?
Yes.
We're always waiting for it to happen. And when we hear it does, we have a hard time believing it because we weren't there. It wasn't through us. So why don't you put yourself in position? I was in my hometown in the public healing services. I saw two blind people see in the same day. That's a good day. Because we are lying and untwisted, and I need to impress you for a minute. I'm telling you the truth, and he's more. I've watched tumors disappear and cancers leave. So a violent raging brain tumor that destroys children in less than 8 weeks, that evaporate and vanish in the presence of the Lord. I've seen a lot of things. I saw my wife come out of a coma with severe brain damage and amazed the doctors. He cried and hugged me and held me and said, we didn't do that. I said, I understand. I watched burns disappear from her hand in the kitchen. And all the grease, the grease left her before me and my children's eyes. You're way too late to debate with me through your experience. You're lost otherwise. I've lost a few too. But I've seen too much. I'm not backing down. What are you doing with me now? Hang me on the cross? Stun me? It doesn't change the truth. You'll keep crying out. You kill Stephen, truth's still here. You kill Jesus, truth's still here.
Yeah.
What we do is cut people off, call them a heretic and a blasphemer. They did all that to Jesus. That's shaky ground. Well, I don't believe you. Well, I don't think it's the Spirit of God. He did all that to Jesus. That would shake me up if I was in that position. Okay, I'm done. I'm late, but I'm done that part. Won't pray for the sick. I'm sorry about that. I have no idea. I just looked. I wanted to cry. It's 9:30. I want to be done by now. We all right? You sure you're all right? Oh, pastors on the front row say I'm all right. Are you all right? You guys all right? Good. Now listen. Let's do this. Let's pray for the sick, okay? The reason I got to do all that is what I was teaching about. The one thing you want to do is you want to believe it's the Word of God to heal. Come on, Christians are supposed to know that. Fight over it. It's not presumptuous to believe the will of God. Watch this. Ephesians 5:17. Don't be unwise. Understand the will of the Lord. Watch this. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We throw the will of God around like a hot potato and say, who can know it? The Bible says you should.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's the will of God found? The life of Jesus. When you see me, you've seen the Father. I only do the will of him who sent me. So if Jesus did it, if Jesus said it, if Jesus commanded it, it's the will of God. Period. It's so simple. And we fight over this stuff. Nobody told me I could. I'm pretty much saved. I see God recreate a disc in a co-worker's back, and he never got the fusion. He's born again. He's an elder in a church today. A month later, 4 months old, the Lord. You're like baby Christian, we say. Are you kidding me? The Spirit of God is in me. 4 months saved. I get a word of knowledge and don't even know where to teach it or find it in the Bible, people. 4 months saved. That's like Goo Goo Gaga, Pampers, Rock Me, Powder Me. Wrong. I'm alone with Jesus and he's flooding my heart with truth and nobody was there to tell me I couldn't.
Amen.
Nobody was there to tell me their horror story and try to get unbelief in me. You know, a Christian couldn't wait to run to me when my co-worker got healed his back and he said, you better be careful with this healing stuff. You know the devil can. That's the first comment I got from a person instead of praise God or wow or that's amazing. A Christian pulled me aside to warn me because the devil can heal. I'm 3 months saved, guys, but I'm not as young as you think. I have already been with him more than some folks have been in the last 5 years. And I looked at him and I said, friend, I don't know what you're trying to say, but it sounds like fear to me. And if I'm praying in the name of Jesus from a sincere heart and the devil's moving and doing something instead of running, we're in trouble. We ought to pack our bags and give up and go home. I said, I don't believe what you're telling me. It can't be true. It has fear behind it.
Yep.
And he went, well, you just can't be asked. No, I'll never be careful about what he's done. A month later, sir, I feel like you need a surgery. And you got a medical thing you're facing with. And you need an immediate miracle. Like you're in a 12th hour, midnight hour thing. He said, what are you, how do you know? I said, what's going on? He said, tomorrow morning I'm scheduled for surgery. I said, really, what? He said, my whole muscle walls are degenerating. I have a blowout hernia. He said, my whole muscle walls are going to deteriorate. You're going to put a double mesh wire in replace of my abdominal wall to hold me together. I said, what? He said, oh, yeah, I got a nasty hernia right now. It's right in my belt. I said, can I see it? He pulled his, it looked like a water balloon blew out of his skin. It looked like you could have popped it from the birth. There was no, it was just the membrane of skin and his intestines pushing out. There was no muscle. It just looked like a water balloon. It was as big as an orange. I said, can I lay my hands on that and pray? I swear that's all. I think, wow, that's pretty intense. I probably ought to call somebody. Anointed. I happen to be. So do you.
Yes.
I put my hand on it. I think, so that you, if I put your, my hand on that, I just read it. I didn't have to touch it. It just felt right to me to ask. He didn't mind. He was freaked out that I knew. So he's already won. Like he's like, whatever you want to do, do it here, man. 4 months old. What do you do with me now? You say, calm down. No, it's calm down. You're wrong about calming down. You don't understand. Because I put my hand on him at 4 months old, the Lord, and under my hand I felt the hernia going closed, going. A flat belly. When I took my hand off, there's no seam, no scar, no nothing. In the morning, they looked at his abdominal wall, said, we don't understand what's happening. There's no hernia, there's no seam, and it doesn't appear you have the degeneration in your muscle wall. Well, this man just prayed for me yesterday. Had a little what? Well, yeah, well, it's just a medical phenomenal. Not gonna, I can't explain, da da da, whatever. But he knows. He fell on the ground crying, 40 years old, when that thing went collapsed. I've seen four people stand up out of wheelchairs in open public. Why? Because I prayed for him. How many do you see not get up, brother? I seen four get up. Stop there.
Yeah.
I'm honored tonight. I sound like the best. I sound like the best. Okay, it's getting later. Did you know that? Okay. Here's what I want to do. Two things. I'll do it real quick. Do it real quick. When you pray for the sick, not everybody can check if they're healed. Do you know what I'm saying? You might have a condition that comes and goes. You might have something that only a test shows it. You might get a migraine that's been coming pretty regular once a week, but it ain't here right now, and you're hoping it don't come back, but it's been nailing you for about 2 months every week, and it's got you a little nervous, right? It's a lot of fun. It paralyzes you for a day. You know what I'm saying? But you don't have one now. There's things that we can't check in the moment. There's conditions that you need time to tell or test to tell. And people have things that are less than homeless. There'd be no way to do a cartwheel or move you. You know, this lady, she was dressing her husband for 22 years. And his shoulder was completely healed in an instant. For 22 years, he couldn't use it. Sounds like Bible to me. But it was 38 years by the pool. It was 40 years from birth. It was 12 years of love. It was 18 years from birth. It sounds like a Bible story to me.
Sounds like Jesus. Book of Acts. The Acts of God.
So this is what I want to do real quick. Just teach you a simple prayer of faith. When you have a condition, there's nothing to test. So you're sitting at work, guys are at lunch, and the guy's telling the condition, and he's saying, man, I've been getting this pain that comes to me every night and I lie in bed. I don't know what it is. And it just screams at me, man. I actually get up and I sit in the chair and sleep the rest of the night in the chair, but when I'm laying, it just hits me. I don't know what it is. And when I'm standing, it's gone. It's not here now. But every time I lay down for the last 5 nights, it screams at me, man. I have to get out of bed. You hear him say that. And you go, listen, man. I know you haven't always understood my heart and my faith. I know you guys have fun with just saying about my Christianity stuff. But listen, then we work together. And I care about what your church is saying. Let me pray with you, man. Let me, oh, I don't need to pray. No, no, listen, what are you running from, man? Let's see what's real. Let me pray for you and see what happens to me. You can even monitor. Come on, man, you got nothing to lose. Most of the time, I'll let you pray. So what do you do? Father, I thank you. You love him so much. I thank you, God, for wholeness. I thank you, pain. You never touch him again. Father, I thank you for wholeness. You know, as he sleeps, because you love him. Jesus' name. He might roll his eyes, giggle, and say, okay, man, I guess I'm supposed to be better now. Wait till you go to bed, buddy. See, that's how I was in a Rite Aid, and the guy wouldn't let me pray. The manager with the case on it. Carpal tunnel was totally numb, totally useless to go into surgery in 2 days. It looked too intense for carpal tunnel, but I thought carpal tunnel, and I didn't say I should have known better. And I said, well, let me pray for you. He said, we got one problem with all this, sir. I don't believe anything you're saying. I said, it doesn't matter. I don't even hear anything. Didn't even want it. He got shook by that. Got a little frustrated. He said, listen, man, I got a job to do. You're involved in pornography. I need to go. I said, listen, my heart wasn't to inconvenience you. I want to bless you and pray for you. I said, look at me, Tim. He looked at me. I said, you check your hand on the way to the top of it. That man's my friend. We're going to pray. I believe your hand's coming alive. He's totally not on page. We're taught that he can't. We grabbed hands and prayed. He's the manager of writing. It's still the talk of the town testimony there, and it's affected a lot of people. We pray. I turn the corner with my little living silver stuff, and I told him I'm going to pay, check out, come and check on him. I didn't get a chance. I turn the corner, and he yells out loud, now you're freaking me out. Now you have me very afraid. He's yelling through the storm on the platform of the photography department. I said, what's going on, man? He said, my hand has come completely alive. I have total feeling. What is going on? You're freaking me out. And I said with a loud voice because he started it. I'm not there to be obnoxious and obnoxious. I was there to just love one man in the eye. But he turned it into this. So I yelled with a loud voice, well, listen to me, friend. Just because you don't believe in him doesn't mean he's not real. I guess he would feel different, huh? It's Jesus, man. Christ wants to live in you, sir. He's come as a sign of mercy. And I just started preaching. I said, this man lives here. I said, can he come back and talk to you? Can he come back? Because we got to run. And I know you're working, but he said, please, by all means. He followed through with him, followed up with him, and still the talk of the town. Yeah.